Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our passage from Isaiah 5, the Lord does exactly what I was trying to describe in the children's sermon, that the Lord is, in this case, a master gardener or a master vineyard person, gardener, whatever you call that, I don't know what you call them, a person that has a vineyard and they're a master at it. And the Lord does everything possible to produce good fruit. He finds a fertile hillside to plant his vineyard. He tills the ground, and the language here indicates that he did this by hand. Not only is he tilling and digging up the soil, but he's removing the stones, and as he decides to plant the vines, he plants the best ones, finds the most choice vines there are, vines that are known to produce a good crop. And then he goes and he builds a watchtower in the middle of this vineyard to protect it from animals and from invaders. Now, I love my garden, I love gardening, but I'm not about to build a watchtower in the center of it and sit out there and guard it, though sometimes maybe I should because the deer keep coming. But God does this. And in anticipation of having a good crop with good fruit, he digs out a pit and gets ready to squeeze out the juice out of the grapes so that he can make a good wine and have a good vintage. The Lord expects a good harvest from this vineyard. But there's a problem. Only bitter grapes are produced out of this vineyard. And the effort and the time involved simply doesn't show itself in the produce. And I'm sure we've got a lot of gardeners in our congregation. I'm sure we've all had this, where you go out and you do everything you possibly can to get a good harvest of tomatoes or cucumbers or whatever you have. You've put fertilizer in, you've put good soil in there, you found good seed, you planted, the weather is right, but for some reason it doesn't produce. The time and the effort and the care and the love involved doesn't show itself in the fruit of the plant. This is exactly what happens to the Lord in his vineyard. And as it produces bitter grapes, he invites his people, the people of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the people of God, to stand as judges between him and the vineyard. And he does this by asking kind of a rhetorical question. He asks them, "What more could I have possibly done for my vineyard?" To which the response should be, "Well, nothing. Lord, you could not have done more to get more out of this vineyard. There's nothing more you could have done." And then at the end of chapter 5, we get the twist, that the Lord reveals that his people are in fact the vineyard. And he has given them everything they could possibly need to produce good fruit. He has given them his word. He has given them his presence. He has been with them throughout their entire history. And yet when it comes down to it, they produce over and over again bad fruit. They were meant to produce the good fruits of honesty and righteousness. They were meant to produce the good fruit of justice and mercy. But instead, all that comes from them are dishonesty and cries for justice against them, cries for mercy against them. They produced bad fruit. Now, a few years ago when we were studying some of the Old Testament prophets in adult Bible study downstairs, I encouraged people as we read prophets like Isaiah, and we see passages that are directed against Jerusalem or Judea or the Israelites, that we as a church understand that this is also a word to us. And so in reading this passage, we should know that what God provided to Israel, to the people of Judah, he also provides to us. And what's more, is what God expected of the people of Israel, he also expects from us. Think of all the care the Lord has given to us. We're placed in this country, in America, a country that is known for religious freedom. We don't have to worry about persecution. Not only that, but most of us, if not all of us, have been raised in a small town in North Dakota, where certainly there's no religious persecution, and churches abound. There's at least one church for every bar in town. Many of us have been raised in families where going to church was an every Sunday occurrence, no matter what. We've been in front of the faith all our lives. Many, if not all of us, have been watered in baptism, given the seed of faith. We have been fed with the sacrament, fed by the Word of God. The Lord has provided to us His Holy Spirit, and it encourages our growth amongst the fellowship of saints. And we might ask ourselves what God asks the people. What more could God have done for us? Yet, often, we can look at our lives and reflect upon the work of the Master Gardener in us and see that the fruit doesn't give testimony, doesn't give evidence to the work of God in us. What more could God have done for us? He has tended us with care and He looks for good fruit in us, but often we are bearing bitter grapes. And quite often the Lord is harvesting bad fruit. And it's like this every Sunday, but this Sunday I especially feel this. Sermons are always for me too, right? As I'm writing, as I'm studying, I'm getting convicted. And this one today really gets me. I've had more than enough days of bearing bad fruit. The Lord tends us with care, expects good fruit, but instead often finds the bitter grapes. Instead of the good fruit that comes from loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, the Lord sees selfish, prideful, self-important people who love themselves with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And as the Lord looks upon His people and He looks for the fruit that comes with loving your neighbor as yourself, I know He sees in me quite often a fearful, lazy, hard-hearted person who would look to justify his own interests instead of those of others. Are we bearing the good fruit of faith? Are we showing forth in our works the work that God has put into us? In Isaiah 5, when the Lord looks upon His people and sees that they are bearing, in fact, bad and bitter grapes, the Lord metes out His punishment. He lays waste to His vineyard. He destroys the watchtower. He destroys the hedges that are protecting it. He stops the rain from coming. He lets it dry up. He lets weeds go. He lets it be trampled. He lets it be laid to waste. And we have to know that He would be justified in doing the same to us. When I used to work at camp, there was this tree that was across the road from the dining hall. And my first year there was this just gigantic tree. I don't remember what kind of tree it was, but it was just a huge kind of gnarly mess of a tree. It was always losing branches. And the delivery trucks that would come down the road to try to get to the dining hall and deliver food always had an issue kind of getting around this tree. The director at the time decided that it was just time to get rid of it, get it out of the way. And so they cut it down, and they left the stump there. And years later, shoots began to grow out of the tree. And it actually became a nice, pleasant tree in a pleasant place. It gave good shade, but it wasn't in the way anymore. And it looked healthy, and it was doing a lot better. This is what the Lord gets to in chapter 11 of Isaiah. The Lord looks upon his people, and they are laid to waste. But even though he lays them to waste, even though he lets his vineyard be destroyed, he never gives up on his people. And from the waste, he promises to bring something new. In Isaiah 11, he describes this waste as a stump. The whole tree of Israel has been cut down and only a stump remains, but he promises that out of this stump will come a shoot from the family of David. And it's a prediction of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And upon Jesus would be the spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and of might and strength. The fear of the Lord will be in this person. And in Jesus, there will finally be the good fruit that God expects of his people. Jesus becomes what Israel was not. And he produces what she could not. And he does the same for us. And he does the same in us. We are not laid to waste like the people of God in Isaiah. But you know what? There is still something that is laid to waste. Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is laid to waste, is trampled and destroyed on our behalf. And as he sprouts out of the tomb and is raised to life, we then are nourished by the benefits of faith in him. We are watered in baptism. We are fed by the sacrament, by his word, and we are provided his Holy Spirit and encouraged in the growth through the fellowship of the saints. The Lord has given us so much. He has given us faith. He has given us salvation, a salvation that doesn't depend on what we do. But we need to know that the Lord still expects good fruit out of this garden that stands before me. The Lord still expects good fruit. The difference is now that we live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who has been laid to waste for us and now lives in us. And we live knowing that on those days where we are just bearing all sorts of bad fruit, that we wake up the next morning in the new and refreshed mercies of Jesus Christ to go about the work that he has for us with the Holy Spirit at work in us. Let us go now and bear the good works, the good fruit of faith. Amen.